Sponsored by vivagreen-greensax.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are all very welcome to the Powers Court Townhouse Centre on this, the Bloom Fringe, Bloom Bank Holiday Weekend. Hello to you down there with the white hairband on, the white cardigan, sitting with your mom and the pink cardigan. Who doesn't? Yeah, that's you, my dear. How are you doing down there? Hello. You have a lovely white hairband on. You would not believe... You could smile. Your mom's giving out to you now. Okay, this is what happens. We've stopped picking on the four girls who are still sitting in front of us now, giggling and still. I don't know why. They're our fan base for like One Direction up here gone wrong from Woodstock. And that is no understatement, and you'll understand when I get there in a second. With thanks to our proud sponsors of our radio show, Greensax. Compostable bags for home and gardens, and on this occasion the big happy family that makes this Bloom Fringe Sod Show live sessions possible, and that is the Powers Court Townhouse Centre. Brian Green behind me on sounds, Katrina Redmond our executive producer, Luke Donegan, who is no relation I should add, and also Sean and Stuart of Two Spots Coffee Counterculture, who are up the top providing us with refreshments throughout the day. Thank you lads indeed, and to you for coming along and also listening in the future in podcast. In my company, I'll start to my left-hand side. He needs no introduction to the Sod Show and no introduction to me. It is my good friend, Andrew Douglas, better known as Dougie. How are you, my good man?
Hi, Peter. Good.
Good.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, okay. we're a little bit getting used to this microphone system in some cases. Andrew, can you just explain, refresh people's memories on what I guess it is you did when we first met for a living?
Urban agriculture, just kind of instigating urban agricultural projects in the city, and I suppose inspiring people to get growing in the city in all sorts of places, on the rooftops, on the side of walls, in their basement. Basically, when we first met, it was actually aquaponics. We're in Bloom, and we're talking about our fish and everything else.
Okay, so when we met, it was aquaponics. It was in Bloom. I think it was about 2 years ago. I'm open to correction on that. At the time, your rooftop garden, if I could call it that, consisted of what?
It was Europe's first fully upcycled rooftop garden. It was 400 square meters of blank space, which we filled up with a lot of planters, 22 tons of soil, and everything was constructed from salvaged materials from the city centre.
I read books, and I've seen TV programs, and I've seen gardens where they've done a little bit of upcycling or biodiversity, or invariably some kind of buzzword in a sense. You are what I have always described as the definitive maestro on how it should be done. I think our last meeting was when I was talking in Christchurch Cathedral at the now Dublin Garden Festival. You were there alongside the Boxty House. Do you want to describe what you had?
Yeah, well, in collaboration with the Boxty House, we're growing 180 different varieties of potato, heritage and heirloom potatoes. And in the Dublin Garden Festival, we had them all on display. And it's basically about showing people the diverse selection of potatoes and also keeping the collection alive. Because in Ireland, we only kind of really know one potato, and that's the rooster. But there's over 8,000 different varieties of potato. And in Ireland, we have 320 different varieties of potato. So it's basically highlighting the potato as a sustainable product for the future, because it uses a lot less water and it's a lot full of stuff.
Well, we won't get into the stuff bit here, but what we will get into is the potato collection that is probably best known around Ireland is the Lissadell Langford collection. That's approximately 200. So is it fair, and I hope so, and apologies if I've got this in any way horticulturally incorrect in a sense to the guys I know extremely well at Lissadell, but is it a case of that you've kind of done the Dublin street version of what we know grows in a field. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, well, basically, we brought the potatoes onto the streets of Dublin, and we showcased them to a lot of different events last year. I had them up at the Electric Picnic. They were on the rooftop. They were in Trinity College. They were at the Garden Festival. And basically, it was getting them out in the public and getting people to see them. And I suppose encouraging people to grow different varieties of potato, because when you go into your seed shop, there's maybe only 4, 5, 8 different varieties. So the idea would be just to, I suppose, to open up their mind and expand it to different varieties of potato. At the moment, we have them growing on top of a school up on Denmark Street there, Belvedere College, and that's where the project is going to kind of basically stay. And it's kind of formed a new collaboration there. And the idea would be that every year when we harvest the potatoes on the rooftop of Belvedere College, that we multiply our collection from our sea potatoes, and we separate them, and we basically pass them on to schools. So eventually, somewhere down the line, a good few years down the line, we want to see every school growing all these different varieties of potato and keeping the history and the culture of the Lissadale Langford collection together, you know?
You're like a Dublin busking Led Zeppelin variation of the Kew Gardens seed bank that Brian Green had visited at one point in time. There's one question I want to ask you before we get to the Belvedere College, a new home of where you are now. That is, your former residence or gardens residence was the rooftop garden, if I'm correct, was it just off or in around about Capel Street?
It's on King's Inn Street. It was the old Williams and Woods building, which is now called the Chocolate Factory. And the idea behind that was that the restaurant on the ground floor, we were going to grow all the food on the rooftop and supply the restaurant downstairs, and then all the waste products generated from the restaurant would go back up to the roof to be composted. But we never actually asked any permissions from that, so... Well, when the time came to the crunch, we basically kind of had to leave that building, and it was kind of a really big beta pilot project. Just to, I suppose, we did it, you know, we just got up and did it one day. We didn't ask permission, and that's basically where, you know, that's that happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and the idea would be that, I suppose, to get the idea of rooftop gardening out there and to get other people interested, and that's what's developed, and we'll talk about that a bit later, I suppose.
Okay, well, just to explain, and I want to remain very, very kind to people who have got involved and made themselves involved in Bloom Fringe, but essentially what happens is a state authority comes along and says, look, you can't do tours up there, you can't keep chickens up there, and you can't grow stuff hydroponically on a rooftop, hydroponics, hydro water, where gravity is involved. And essentially they said, look, you're going to have to move out of town. It's like the circus that came in, it got a little bit too big, and then you kind of had to move along. It's fine if you're doing it as a hobby, just at your back garden, and then it kind of explodes in a very, very good way. We'll come back to Andrew in a minute. To my right-hand side, however, is Niall and Jamie. Niall, how are you?
Very good, thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. And Jamie, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks for having us. It's great to see you, Peter.
Okay, let me start with Niall, if I can. Niall, first of all, I guess, what is it that yourself and Jamie, I won't say, is it? Do I say what you do for a living? Do I call it that?
Well, no, it's more just a project that we've gotten underway. Basically in tandem with a local residence group in Rialto called Back of the Pipes. They have a community garden up and running for about 3 years now called Flanagan's Fields, and with the help of Dublin City Council and Flanagan's Fields, they've given us the opportunity to explore the feasibility of using urban brownfield sites as food-producing units.
Okay, you say brownfield sites. Niall, explain it to me what a brownfield site is.
It's basically just a neglected area or underused area in Dublin. There's lots of them around about the place, so our philosophy is to try and turn them into a useful resource for the community.
Yours is with a little bit of a twist because you have a name on it. What have you called it and why?
We're calling ourselves the Grow Dome Project. Basically, we've constructed a geodesic dome, and when we were first designing, we were kind of looking at things and we're going, hold on a minute, you know, for things to be really efficient, you know, typical farming is very two-dimensional, so we've kind of brought a third dimension into farming. So rather than just sticking with planting things on the ground, we're actually going vertical. So we've gone vertical, increasing the footprint of the area and therefore increasing the amount of produce we can we can plant and grow.
Okay, there are very large words in there. Some of them are geodesic and some of them are hydroponic. And essentially, you're going to end up rooting through a thesaurus and coming out with bigger words. Whilst you're doing that and reefing out your Google while you're listening to this on podcast, getting run down or knocked over while you're on your bicycle, listen to us in the future. You have a DeLorean, you can always go back. We're going to pause for a song of the week, and this is Wallace Bird with Hardly Hardly.
Live your life, 'cause you got to give it to yourself.
103.2 Dublin City FM. This is the Sod Show Sessions live for Bloom Fringe Bank Holiday Weekend. Hello, Mom, down there. Is that a few crisps you're eating with the wee little Lanav beside you with the pink bib on? That looks like a lovely dinner. What a wonderful place to host the Sod Show live sessions. Still in my company, Niall and Jamie of the Grow Dome Project, and my good friend, Dougie. That's the best way to describe it. Andrew Douglas, indeed. Okay, let's go back a little bit if we can. And Jamie, we were talking about geodesic domes. Can you explain? I know what a dome is. I get that bit. That's a half a football shape. And what have you got? And what is it in the geodesic bit?
Originally, there's some argument over who coined the concept, but they're really popularized by a guy called Richard Buckminster Fuller. And what he was really conceiving was he's looking at using the structure as a means of affordable housing when he was promoting the whole thing. Essentially what it is it's a structure that's constructed out of a series of different triangles, I think 72 to be of the best of my recollection. And each of the triangles form up pentagons and hexagons, and through essentially putting them together, you can form a spherical or a semi-sphere, and it's a perfect structure for a greenhouse, really.
Okay, and Niall, in the now what we know as a geodesic dome / greenhouse, what have you got growing in there?
Well, our plan is to use hydroponics. It's a very...
Pause it. Hydroponics, hydro being water, ponics being the growing of plants in water, I guess.
Yeah, we're collecting rainwater, and we're using the rainwater in reservoirs, and so the roots of the plants grow directly into the water, so you don't need any soil at all. So it's a very versatile way of growing. There's lots of benefits to it. The plants grow much quicker. They need far less space. The produce is bigger. It's more healthier. There's numerous benefits to it.
You get a total reduction in pests. The likes of that, you don't have any of the interfering factors that you may find in typical gardening. Essentially, what it is growing the produce in a substrate and just suspending it above water, where all the nutrients, all the supplies that a plant needs to typically grow is just fed to it straight through the water. Typically, in a typical garden, you're planting your produce in your lettuce or your potatoes into a soil, and all the soil really is just a substrate to hold the produce there while it gets its nutrients from the rainwater, from the minerals that are in the soil. So what we're doing is we're just removing the soil from the equation and keeping the supply of minerals and water to the plants.
Niall, can I ask you this, and I mean this in the very, very eloquent sense of doing so, but Rialto, if I was to ask you to describe it to me, is it a village, is it a town, particularly for those outside of Ireland listening and podcast?
Rialto, it's one of the more, oldest places in Dublin. It's got a lot of character. We were very lucky to just... The guys actually lived there. I used to live there. I lived just across the road in Stony Batter.
The question I guess I'm trying to get to is you're not renowned for your agriculture in Rialto, if that's fair to say.
No, not necessarily. Rialto actually, it's like taken for example the name of the community garden we've been working with is Flanagan's Fields. Flanagan was actually one of the key landowners, and that whole section of Rialto, which is known as Back of the Pipes, was basically originally a market farm. So that basically people would take out allotments, grow produce, and then distribute it throughout the city. So it does have a history of food producing.
But to differentiate, Jamie, if it's okay, where I live is Ballybohol. There is no, I think the nearest town is 20 euro in a taxi away. My neighbours are potato farmers. We're talking 350 acres. We live in the Timotei advert, which has pros and cons. You have bus stops and supermarkets and shops.
No, that's true. Okay. That's very true. Yeah.
So in modern day time
is not renowned for growing. It's... I don't know. I think that growing needs to be brought back into the city. People need to have a green space which they can associate themselves to.
There's one photograph that I saw, and if you go to the Grow Dome Project website, do you have that off the top of your head?
Yeah, the growdomeproject.com.
Okay. The photograph at the top of that is the Grow Dome lit up at nighttime.
Yeah.
What's been the reaction of the people of Rialto when that first went in?
They love it. They really do. Like, at first, they probably thought we were a bit mad putting something like that up there. However, over time, they've grown to feel like it's theirs. The residents in the area all help out. The construction, the construction was done off-site, but the actual assembling of the produce or the assembling of the dome itself was done over a matter of 2 days with help from everybody in the area. So there's real proof of ownership. People really feel like they belong to it, you know.
And from feeling a little bit odd, I'm something I'm well aware of myself. Andrew, we're back to the whole point of, I guess, Dublin City Centre above a rooftop, in a sense, without permission to the new project, which I've seen online. It's Belvedere College. I guess the first question and the one thing that struck me was, you've now got what I can probably describe as a real farmer's market in a sense taking place in Belvedere. It's the one thing I copped. How real are we talking?
Yeah, how real are we talking? Well, initially we were growing a lot of microgreens.
Microgreens?
Microgreens, growing seeds up to their first true leaves, and then we sell them into restaurants and cafes. But the whole idea behind the Belvedere College Urban Farm is that we're exampling and educating the students in the college. There's 1,000 young boys in that school. And basically what we've done is we've taken over a glass-roofed science laboratory on the top floor. And we have our hydroponics and our aquaponics inside our rooftop greenhouse. We have 4 beehives on one roof. We have planning permission granted from DCC to go onto another rooftop. And in the meantime, we're growing our collection of 180 different varieties of potato upon the rooftop running track. So Belvedere is a very urban situation. It's in Dublin D1. There's not very much space around it for the guys to play football and so forth. So they've actually got a five-a-side pitch on the roof already, and they have a rooftop running track. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with that space that we're going to put a big garden up there also. And there's a lot of sports stars and a lot of, I suppose, athletes in Belvedere College. It's very highly academic as well. So the students are, I mean, if they're not interested in the nutrition from the food, they're interested in the academic end of things. So we kind of use the principles of STEM education, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So you might be looking at our fish tanks and wondering how is there any technology or science base behind that? Well, when you bring it into the physics lab or the biology lab or the chemistry lab, then it really rings true, you know? And it's about, I suppose, exampling to the lads where their food comes from and how things are going to change in the future. What I'm always saying to them is that the iPhone has only been here within the last 10 years. And the amount of change and technology that has brought us and the capabilities that we have with that as we go into the future and our population explosion and everything else that's going to happen by 2050, we have to start looking at how we produce food for ourselves in the city. Not just in the city, but, you know, in the world, on the planet. With our resources are going down, we have a lack of water or a lack of energy, so we have to just, you know, try to maximize what we can grow with what we have around us, and also looking at reuse of our sources. So we're going to be starting using a basement, a part of the school, to grow oyster mushrooms, and that involves taking coffee waste and brewer's waste from the local eateries and local microbreweries and growing mushrooms mushrooms from that. So, I mean, there's so much to it. It's a lot of collaborations, lots of different tangents that all kind of intertwine within each other. And it's, you know, it's true when they say it takes about 10 years to build a garden, because I'm in there about 10 months now. And what's happened has just been phenomenal in the last 10 months. So what's going to happen in the next 10 years is going to be, it's just going to be super in there, you know?
Okay, one of the things that was mentioned was the first sets of true leaves. So for those who aren't aware, a seed has two sets of leaves almost built within the wee little case that you might see before you plant it. They pop out, you'll get two sets of leaves that will come out. After that, those seed leaves will just have enough energy just to make them, and you'll eventually end up with the first sets of true leaves. A brief interruption, my apologies, but Katrina Redmond, how are you?
I just wanted to ask the lads a quick question, and it goes to the guys here from Growdome. What sort of quantity are you putting out of the Growdome every single week?
Well, we're only just starting off now. What we're doing is we're developing. One of the things Andrew touched on there was basically how technology is evolving. And what we're doing is we're trying to use, because we've seen that agriculture really, it hasn't changed a huge amount in the best part of 100 years. So if you look back, the farming practices which were done about 100 years ago are still the farming practices that are done today. So with the help of modern technology, what we're trying to do is we're trying to streamline the process so that we'll be able to generate something in the region of 1,000 units of produce a week.
Just to interrupt you there, that's 1,000 heads of lettuce, ballpark, a week.
Yeah. Through proper crop rotation and through proper control of the ecosystem, we should be able to generate that. It's really what we're doing is we're taking a practice which hasn't changed in the best part of 100 years, and we're updating, we're making technology more accessible to it. So like if you take any spectrum of things like medicine, they've all had their technological advancements. Agriculture, it's the same for the last 100 years, and it needs to be done more efficiently. So with the likes of modern day controllers, modern day technology that's around, we're trying to bring this into the food producing systems.
Okay, wow. Well, from 1,000 heads of lettuce were cheapest when you put that in context. Try and fit that into a Helen James sandwich and see how you get on. That is unreal. And then we flick back to oyster mushrooms grown down in a basement. We'll have a mushroom growing coming up in a future podcast with the guys from Monaghan Mushrooms, and it's very, very interesting when you take that, which is grown, you might say, in what we would know now as real world mushroom growing, to what I guess my good mate Dougie is doing. Dougie, to pay you a compliment, and I genuinely mean this, there's one school which may bring a guitar teacher in, and bringing you in to teach horticulture, to analogize that, is like bringing Jimmy Page or Robert Plant in. You're a little bit old school and rock and roll, but you're really good for the soul, and you are what it's all about.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's about the passion and the energy that you bring along to the project, you know. I mean, there were quite a few raised eyebrows when I said I was going to be teaching hydroponics to secondary school boys, you know. But, I mean, once they get over that initial idea, and you like Jamie was saying here about, you know, how technology is changing, you know. I mean, the bad thing about technology in agriculture is that they're doing GM, and they're, you know, all the technology is going into pesticides and into GM crops, and nothing is going into actual decentralized production, you know. It's kind of bringing it back to what our grandparents
agree.
Used to do, you know.
Technology, in that sense, when it's used in the wrong way, it's really, really bad. However, there is ways to use technology efficiently and for the good. You don't need to be looking at genetically modifying a tomato so that it lasts longer in the shelf. Just talking about using technology to make it grow more efficiently, you know?
Okay, look, we're going to pause it there. We're going to try and as is sod show context only, we only do the good stuff here on this show. We don't worry about the other boys. Andrew, I guess if people want to get in touch, where and how do they find out a little bit more about you?
Well, they can have a look at the urbanfarm.ie website, and then from that there's all links off to the Belvedere Farm, or they can have, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. So once you go to urbanfarm.ie, you can find all our different links and all our different projects from that. Thank you.
Okay, so from myself, Niall and Jamie to my right, thank you so much, lads. It's been a genuine pleasure. And their website is growdome.com.
The growdomeproject.com.
Growdomeproject.com. In the meantime, from myself, Peter Donegan and Brian Green on sound, our executive producer, Katrina Redmond, Luke Donegan sitting there to my right-hand side, being here all day long, to the wonderful people of Paris Court Townhouse and Centre, and you down the back with your good man, I don't know what she's looking at. She's distracted now. She's seen something in a fashion shop, which she rightly should do. Thank you so much for coming along. At Sideshow on Twitter, sideshow.com. We'll talk to you later on. Enjoy. Take care. Salam. Bye-bye.